Welcome to a sparkling edition of Plank of the Week. And in fact, it is the last Plank of the Week of 2020. I think we're all probably very happy to see the end of 2020. But I'm delighted to say, for the very first time in News UK and for Plank of the Week, we have Carol Decker with us, a genuine, proper celebrity. Right?
Pop star.
And a proper pop star, yeah. That we've, you know, the like of which we don't normally see here. So we're very grateful for you coming
and
in.
I'm a ruler in my own track.
Thank you very much indeed. Yeah. Jerry Hayes is also here. He's definitely
Tory
not a celebrity.
Tory scum.
But he's probably defended a few celebrities in the past.
Oh, yeah.
All sorts of nefarious activities.
Oh, yeah.
Jerry, give us your first nomination for Plank of the Week.
Well, he hasn't got very long with us, I'm afraid. And that is President Trump. No, he's not dying.
I mean,
poor Carol.
You lawyers have
say,
got absolutely no kind of shred of decency.
Again?
Have you? No shred.
He's not dead yet, Carol. Yeah. But, I mean, why can't he just say, I lost the election? Why does he have to put up Julie, they or he or them, Rudy Giuliano, who hasn't been in court for 22 years.
Do you know,
has got
he's
terrible
a guy,
hair dye.
Talking of how Boris did a great job as mayor of London, I mean, Rudolph Giuliani did a fantastic job.
Fantastic.
Not just of being mayor of New York, but also of being the US attorney. When I was living there, he was prosecuting the mafia. He was going after all the insider trading.
In the mid-80s.
Yeah.
He was quite the hero.
Oh, he was, totally.
He's like he's not the same person now.
Yeah, and when, press conference where the dye is running down his face.
Oh, just.
You just think, Jesus, give it up, man.
And then he brought some woman along as his star witness who was out of her tree.
Right.
She was very, very drunk. More than a couple of sherries at luncheon, I'm afraid.
I mean, I was willing to accept that there was something slightly awry about that election, because it's still quite difficult for me to believe that Joe Biden gets more votes than Barack Obama.
It's not surprising.
And that so many people who voted by mail voted for him.
But you know why? Because Trump said to his supporters, don't use the mail ballot.
Mm.
And what happened was Biden said, do use it. Now, what happened? More people.
No, but the numbers
Biden.
Are huge, though.
Oh,
I mean,
enormous.
More people voted they're in this enormous. Election than have ever voted.
But something you probably don't know, I am the expert in this country on it, and I tried to stop the 2005 general election as a barrister representing various people because I did the great postal ballot fraud in Birmingham.
Did you?
Yeah.
So there has been postal ballot fraud.
Oh, over here. Oh, God, it was wide open.
I've always voted postal ballot because I'm on the road.
Right.
Now, my daughter is of voting age, so we registered her, and hers got declined for recent elections because... She hasn't figured out her signature yet. Because she's sort of still trying a few options, you know. But they were on it like a bonnet. You know, they said, no, don't recognise your signature, and her vote got declined.
Well, you obviously don't live in Tower Hamlets.
But I heard...
Because that's not what they do there.
No.
I heard a political pundit on the radio the other day, an American pundit, and he said the reason that Trump is keeping this going is it's considered campaigning. So funds keep coming in.
Yeah.
And he's broke.
And also, they
well,
talk
I don't
about
think he's
this.
Broke.
You want to set up this
he's not
network.
Broke like us.
No, I mean, he's not like, you know, when we go to the pub after this.
Yeah, exactly.
And we say, who's buying the round? I mean, he's not worried about that
on
kind
all
of money.
On separate table.
Of course, absolutely. Well, we might even sit outside because obviously that would be a sensible thing to do.
Of course.
You know, where it might be chilly, but listen, you've got to do your bit.
Yeah.
But so are you putting him in as Plank of the Week on the grounds that he's a plank this week or just generally?
He's a lifetime award winner. He is a planker to end all planker. Mm. Little planktons surround him, but he is a planker. And in fact, Joe Biden, what he's going to do when he gets into the White House, I think it's today that the Electoral College are actually...
The Electoral College declared it, I think, yesterday officially.
Oh, it was yesterday, was it? Yeah. Well, still, he doesn't accept that he lost. And he did lose. And Biden is going to have to...
He didn't lose by much, though. That's the point.
Well, when you look at Trump and Clinton... Clinton actually had the popular vote by
about
3
million.
Yeah,
none of that matters,
though. No, it doesn't matter at all. Whereas Biden got the popular vote by about 4 or 5.
Yeah, which also doesn't matter.
It doesn't.
Most of the wins in each state that both of them won were very, very close.
But the fact of the matter is people voted in America. Voting is sacrosanct. And this guy has defiled it. Whatever your politics are, he has defiled it.
Oh, I thought he was great fun.
Well, he was great fun as a journalist.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but as...
He is fun, and there's a lot of comedians are going to miss him.
Yeah, they are. Absolutely. Well, the BBC comedians particularly are going to have nothing to do, are they?
I personally have always, again, going back to the times we didn't know each other then, when I was in New York, he was all over the place with Ivana, and I just thought he was a crass, horrible individual.
Well, do you know what?
Then.
You're absolutely right, because when I was living in New York in the 80s, he was quintessentially the guy that turned up at every party.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody hated him, but I grew to sort of like him. Partly because everybody hated him in this country, because he became this kind of bogeyman figure, and people said, "Oh, look at what he's doing now. He's disgusting. He's defiling, as you said, the presidential, you know, White House. Yeah. Isn't it dreadful?" I actually thought that was quite funny, and because of that, I mean, I don't think he's a very interesting or nice individual, but I kind of supported him and I wanted him to win as a result.
But it's interesting. We must have been in New York at the same time, because I was staying at the Plaza Hotel.
Yeah.
And this guy came up to me, Donald Trump, who, to be honest, I'd never heard of, said, hey.
Did you ever go to the Oak Bar there?
Probably, but I can
never
remember getting
out of it. It could be a very expensive place to go, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, well, other people were paying, thank heaven.
No, I'm not talking about the drinks.
Oh, I see.
Talking about who you meet there.
Oh, I see.
It was literally riddled with prostitutes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh, but
I'm afraid so.
This guy comes up to me, he says, hey, you're that MP staying with me. I says, yes. He says, will you come to Jared's birthday party?
Oh, yeah.
He was 12. And he was dressed like, not Donald Trump, but Jared, dressed like little Lord Fauntleroy. Mm. There were all sorts of clowns and people on stilts, and it was all for the parents to impress.
Yes.
The poor kids were having a rotten time.
Right.
Yeah.
That was when FAO Schwartz was the big toy shop. Opposite.
Oh, I used to love that.
Which is not there anymore. It's an Apple store now.
Welcome to my world.
It's an Apple store now.
Lovely.
Which is really unfortunate. But no, listen, New York in the 80s was my kind of hunting ground. It was the most fantastic place to be. And it's not like that anymore.
No, I loved it. And it was bankrupt.
Yeah.
I went there. I remember going down the big boulevards in the cabs, and there were sheets of metal across all the potholes.
Right.
And you'd bang, and you nearly bang your head on the roof of the cab.
Yeah.
But it... New York is.
And the streets. It's the only place I've ever really been where the streets steam.
Yeah, I loved it.
And the steam's coming out the street.
Just chimneys coming out.
I loved it.
Yeah.
And the air conditioning units hanging in the back of grotty apartments.
Absolutely.
No, I just loved it.
And Trump will very possibly go into sort of hiding, if you like, because the word is that come the inauguration, he's not going to be there. So people are saying, I can't believe he's not going to be there. I mean, hopefully he will go. But some people are saying he's going to go to Mar-a-Lago in Florida for Christmas, and he's not going to come back to Washington. So he's not even ever going to go back to the White House.
There with his big chin sticking
out. You would think, wouldn't you?
He's fed up,
I mean, amazingly enough, actually, I don't think he's actually made it onto Plank of the Week at all this year.
Really?
Yeah, because we've only been doing this year. We started in January. And
I did one in July.
You've actually done quite a few.
Yeah.
You know, and in fact, you are invited, I think I've told you this, to the Plank of the Year readiness. But we're not sure yet if we can get you in, because we'll be in tier three.
Like you say, from a journalistic point of view and a comedy point, he's been an anathema to the awful, hideous, woke PC wave tsunami that's trying to drown us all.
Mm.
So from that point of view, I'd agree with you that he's a disruptor.
Yes.
And it was great to see some of these nauseating people.
And let's face it, Biden comes from that background of, you know, he's been in the White House for eight years with Barack Obama, achieved absolutely nothing, right? Square root of sweet FA.
In 1981, when we were at war with Argentina, there was one senator who got up and got on TV and said, America should support the United Kingdom.
Yeah.
It was Joe Biden.
Well, President Ronald Reagan was also quite helpful.
Oh, he was quite tricky, actually.
Yeah, but he was helpful.
Oh, he was helpful in the end because she battered him.
Yeah, of course she did.
She battered him.
Yeah, exactly right. But Biden, to me, is a fraud and will always be a fraud and therefore will not be a good president. But there we are.
Who knows?
But we can put him in Plank of the Week next month when he's inaugurated.
Maybe.
Carol, who's your first nominee?
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, a beautiful name. So she is an American-Mexican U.S. Democratic representative for one of the boroughs in New York.
And she used to be a waitress, I think, didn't she?
I don't know that much about her.
Yeah. I think that's what she came from, this kind of world of being, I'm an ordinary working woman.
Oh, that's great.
Which is great.
That's great.
She's quite annoying, though, isn't she?
Well, yes, because there's a great big food company called Goya, big food company in America.
Yes.
And the family that founded it, oh gosh, like 100 years ago, I think it's really, really old. They were from Spanish Puerto Rican immigrant background.
Right.
So the current CEO, who's the great grandson of those people, his name is Robert Unanue, or Unanue, I'm not quite sure how to pronounce it. So he's a big Trump supporter. So he goes to the White House in July, I think, and gave a big speech where he said, I'm the descendant of immigrants. I've done brilliantly. You're right. The descendant of immigrants. You're a fantastic president. I really support you. So Alexandria, who is known as the AOC, that's her Twitter handle, that's what everybody calls her, she went on her Twitter feed and said, you're a disgrace to our Spanish heritage, you know, and urged everybody to boycott Goya Foods.
Oh, for God's sake. Because they make beans and things, don't they? I've seen cans in supermarkets.
So, consequently, sales soared. And then they made her Employee of the Month.
Brilliant.
Which I just thought was hysterical on
her social media.
That is hilarious, isn't it?
She was bullying. That's bullying.
But this is this whole cancel culture thing, the left, and she's quite left-wing. Isn't she the one that's also known as a member of the squad?
Yes, there's four women. Yeah.
One of whom Trump used to refer to as having been born in Lebanon or somewhere like that, or some, you know, Muslim country. Yeah. He's always kind of alluding to the fact that she's a terrorist, right, which is clearly wrong. But the squad is quite a powerful
thing, isn't it? There's four very forthright. Yeah. Male politicians. Right. And they, you know,
but for America, they're very left-wing.
Yes, they are. And I don't know that much about them because I don't follow American politics in depth. But I don't like that sort of, because your opinion is different to mine, I'm going to try and take you down.
Exactly.
It's wrong.
And it's only them that do it. You know, if those people on the right had the same attitude, there'd be all sorts of people getting cancelled on the left. But the right people from the right don't tend to do that. It's like, you know, when you get Ben and Jerry's saying things about, you know, saving the migrants coming across on dinghies from Calais, and how we should all be kind to them, forgetting to mention that they're actually owned by Unilever, who have their own slave trade going on all over the world, and who actually sell, I think, in India, skin whitening products, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're not holier than thou, but they just pretend to be.
You know, watch out, watch your own glass hands.
Yeah.
And also, I hate the way everything has become weaponized.
Yes.
Everything. If you're not with us, you're against
us.
If you're not a this, you're a that. And life is more nuanced than that.
Of course
that.
It is.
I
also, why wouldn't you buy a can of beans because some guy likes Donald Trump? I mean, you know, what are you gonna buy instead?
As long as the beans are good.
It's virtue signaling.
It really is.
It's all it is.
It's the worst kind.
Awful.
It's the worst kind. Well, I'm going to go route one with my first nomination. It's Prince Andrew. You know, bizarrely, one. I was just looking at last year's, because this whole project, Plank of the Week, came out of a list that I made last year for Plank of the Year, and Prince Andrew won it last year because it was very recent, about a year ago, around about this time was when he gave that interview to Emily Maitlis. You know, which incredibly he thought went quite well.
Okay. Right. I thought that came out quite well.
And all of his sort of sycophantic aides were like, well done, sir. Yeah. That was really good. You've certainly laid all those ghosts to rest.
Still not sweating.
Really? You reckon? You think?
I don't sweat.
And well, not only does he not sweat, and that was the first lie that he told, it turns out that he's also now lied because the Mail have done this big investigation this week.
Yes, Stephen Wright,
great. Yes, who's great, brilliant, right? He's done this big investigation in which they found that he actually did spend the night at Jeffrey Epstein's mansion in Manhattan. And I think it was maybe 2001, perhaps.
Where, in a bath.
Where Virginia, the girl who's accused him of basically having sex with her when she was underage, was not there at the time, but she said that he was there, but not with her. He's now been apparently, it's been exposed that he was actually there, and they've uncovered some kind of email which was sent confidentially to somebody in the royal household saying, oh yes, Prince Andrew will be staying with in a private residence that night, not with the ambassador.
But Epstein wasn't there either, was he?
No.
Was Andrew just using the
So Andrew was there. Well, you say that, but I mean, do you really use Jeffrey Epstein's mansion as a place to DOS? Because the question would have to be asked, well, maybe he wasn't with Virginia, but maybe he was with someone else.
Yeah. And why doesn't he help the FBI, as he promised?
Well, as I said, whenever I was asked about him earlier in the year, in the Emily Maitlis interview, he said, I will seek legal guidance, and you're a barrister, so you'll know how this works, and if my legal advisors say it's a good idea to talk to the FBI, that's what I'll do.
Yeah.
So you can only conclude that they've told him it's not a very good idea, and so he's not talking to them. And it's absolutely unbelievable that Prince Andrew, I mean, it's been a pretty horrible, crappy year for the Queen this year as well, with Harry and Meghan, and, you know, they don't even want her to see their child, and she's barely seen the baby since he was born, little Archie. Now her favourite son, Andrew, is all over the front pages again. And it's like, would you give your mother a break?
And
would you?
Without being morbid, the Queen and Prince Philip are very elderly now. And, you know, they have longevity in the family. Mm. Long may that continue. But you don't want to be going your possible final handful of years with all this crap.
No, it's awful.
He wants to get back into public life, which is appalling.
That's the other thing. Yeah, he thinks
keep
that
his mouth shut.
Yeah, he should go to America. He should talk to them because it may well be that he hasn't done anything terrible, but it just looks awful, doesn't it?
Because you're a legal person, right? I'm going to use a posh word and speak legal. Is there any way of subpoenaing? You know, they must all
have... Oh, he's outside the jurisdiction.
Their diaries. Their diaries must... They must all be archived, all the royal family diaries. They're, you know, what they do is detailed by the minute.
Of course it is.
So it's all going to be written down somewhere,
right?
Where
His own daughter, Beatrice, was asked about the whole trip to Pizza Express, and she said she didn't remember going there, right?
That was really quite...
Mind you, how old was she? I can't remember.
Yeah.
That's fair enough. But
the point is that also... With regard to what you said about you know, keeping records of things, the royal security people will surely have a detail of where he was on that particular day.
Or if he wasn't where he was meant to be.
But the one person who was there sadly died.
Yeah.
But, you know, that'll set all sorts of conspiracies.
No, I feel
but
very sorry.
But you're right about
him.
He deserves to be on that list because he seems to me like a thoroughly dishonest individual who's arrogant. And I can tell you a story about a mate of mine who served with him during the Falklands War.
Yeah.
They're all sitting around, terrible hardship, scary time, and the officers were given a treat once a week in the mess. So Andrew just went to nick one of the other people's treats and said, well, this is what happens when you're a royal. And a guy whose treat it was got a fork and shoved it right through his
hand. Ooh.
Good thing to...
Well done. Absolutely.
He was not popular with the guys.
Well, this is it. And
he has a reputation.
The only stories, stories I've ever heard about him, because I've never met him, are that he's very spoilt, that he expects to be treated differently to everybody else.
Yeah.
And, you know, and he demands it.
His name was Randy Andy, so it all...
Well, he doesn't drink, he just likes sex. Nothing wrong with sex, but, I mean, you know, that was his thing.
That's the thing about people that don't drink. It's usually because they're sex maniacs.
I'd much rather drink than have sex.
Me too.
Yeah. The two don't always go together.
No, they don't, not anymore. They used to.
They used to, yeah.
One used to lead to the other.
They did, absolutely right.
Now it just leads to sleeping.
It's true. It's true.
There's a mate of mine.
Not who actually.
There's a mate of mine who you've met, an artist. You've met him. If his flowers are wilting, he puts in a solution of Viagra.
Does he?
And it perks them up.
Does it really?
It does.
I don't believe that for a minute.
That's what he tells me.
I'm sure that's rubbish. Absolutely, that's rubbish. But it's not the first rubbish you've spouted on this show. Let's have your second nomination.
The second nomination. Well, it's really a double act, actually.
Okay.
And that is Colleen Rooney.
Oh, God.
And that ghastly woman, Vardy.
Now, yes.
The last time I was on this show, we were dealing with Johnny Depp.
That's right.
And we just sort of said, really, don't lawyers say, you're stuffed, mate. You're stuffed.
Right.
But there's so much money
here.
Anyway, we all know the story, so I won't bore you with it. But the council...
Well, I think you may need to just outline it, because these are two wags, right, who have got more money than sense, clearly, who have hired teams of lawyers because of something that one of them said.
Well, perhaps it was because all sorts of really, really fascinating stories, top-secret stories about what Wayne Rooney was wearing, which club he might go to, got leaked to the Sun, which is absolutely appalling.
Incredible.
So at a time when people are dying, at a time when there's a pandemic,
at
a time when the economy is going down the drain, they spend the money on that. This self-obsessed, ghastly bunch of overpaid people.
And also they get to the High Court before lots of other more deserving people.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know how that works exactly. You can maybe tell me. But famous people seem to be able to get into court a lot quicker.
As we talked about Johnny Depp. Anyone with a half a brain knew that this is a case that Colleen couldn't possibly win. And when her barrister gets up in court and just says, well, when she said these things, that it was from Rebecca Vardy's account.
Right.
She wasn't suggesting for a moment she was leaking stuff.
No.
What was she suggesting then?
Oh, God knows. I don't know. Completely insane. So she loses the case. So what does Rebecca Vardy do? She comes up and says, I'm going to sue for libel. Oh, go away.
Oh, just give up.
Get her life and shut up.
Right, because your reputation is so high in the eyes of the world.
Exactly.
That you've somehow felt that it's been damaged.
Exactly.
Really?
She's married to Wayne Rooney, for God's sake.
I know.
You know?
I mean,
I actually don't have a lot to say on this because I'm not interested in football.
No.
I'm not interested in the WAG.
In the WAG,
and you're right, it's so petty.
It's petty.
So you've leaked. They clearly were friends at some point because she was sharing gossip or just chatting on her. Was it her Instagram or something?
It was her Instagram, yeah.
Do you know the answer? Yeah. What they should have done as a PR point of view and as a journalist point of view to a newspaper, they would have had a big hug, makeup, that had gone with their families to Barbados.
Yes.
And that, to show they were good friends, they would give some money to charity. Now, they may still hate each other, but that's the way you do it.
But that's what you do.
It's like Gillian Taylor.
Because they've got more money than sense, as I said earlier, and they've got so much money that it's ridiculous.
Do you remember Gillian Taylor? She was done for giving some chump along the A10.
Yes.
Classy
was
woman.
Was he still driving?
The great defeater of that particular lawsuit was our friend Mr. Carman, was it not?
Yes.
Who managed to get the jury out into the outside of the court. I think it was at the High Court, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Into the car park to get a reenactment of said event, right?
What a perv.
No, because it won him the case.
Oh,
because
right, okay.
her suggestion was that she wasn't, in fact, engaging in an act of oral sex. I'm not repeating what you said because that's probably not suitable for a family audience. And she claimed that she was helping him with some stomach pains that he had. So it's George Carman, right? Was it George Carman?
Yes, George.
Yeah,
Carman.
George Carman, who was the prosecuting attorney, I suppose, basically said, have a look at this. What could they possibly be doing? And the jury just went,
yeah.
See what you mean? You know, that's not what you do when you're helping somebody with their stomach pains.
But it can relieve a lot.
So I believe, yeah. I believe that. I can vaguely remember it in the mists of time. But let's have your number two plank.
Okay, my number two plank is the New York Times.
Yes.
It's not so much the person that the story's about, who looks, from the when I was looking at the pictures, really nice guy. He's a fashion designer, started out as a stylist. His clothes are lovely. He looks gorgeous. Not a problem with him. His name's Norris Dantaford. But what they're doing now, they're advertising the fact that he wants to bring community, promote diversity and inclusiveness into sewing.
Sewing.
And they want to call themselves sewists, which is the popular gender-neutral term.
Sewists.
Sewists.
Sewist, yeah. So this makes
doesn't sound
want,
right, that,
no,
does it?
No, it makes me want to vomit. It really does. And again, it's nothing really against the young guy who clearly is a very talented designer, but just do what you want to do. Stop banging on about it. And I was thinking,
also, what would you call somebody who sews if it's not a sewist?
Well, you'd be a tailor or tailoress or machinist or whatever. There are already terms for it, but
seamstress.
There you go. See, that's gender specific.
Or it could be a seamster.
Seamster. I've never heard that. I've heard of teamsters, not seamsters.
Look, Yves Saint Laurent, Karl Lagerfeld, John Richmond, who I used to wear, Alexander McQueen, Issey Miyake, Norman Hartnell. Christian Dior. They didn't seem to have a problem breaking into sewing.
No.
So it's just, again, everything's getting processed through this preachy, we've all got to be nice and diverse. And,
it's so ridiculous.
And,
I mean,
do
I was.
You have anybody with only one leg?
I know.
In the community.
I know.
You need to get
well, do you know, I saw a story the other week, and I couldn't quite believe it, but it turned out to be true, that somebody, I think, who had an amputee or something. There were an amputee of some description, something anyway about that, but they couldn't represent the people who worked in the company because the company didn't have anybody who had an amputation. So therefore, there was a problem because somebody who didn't have the amputation might be affected. I mean, it was just so complicated. You're kind of going, what? I mean, there's a guy called James Wong who's made it onto Plank of the Week before, who's a gardening expert. He's on BBC quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
And he's apparently come out this week and said that gardening is ostensibly racist.
Yes, I saw.
Did you see that?
I didn't understand that.
Well, because he's basically saying, because, of course, as you would know, if you were to put a sort of a garden, what they would call a tropical garden, into a part of your home, that would ostensibly and effectively be racist because you would be using things which weren't part of your
cultural appropriation.
Yeah.
So my hair.
So if you've got a cactus or something,
If you had a cactus, you know, that's obviously not what you would grow normally in this country.
But
so therefore,
down the two palm trees in my backyard.
You better had.
I don't want to get into trouble.
But I mean, it is mad, isn't it, that we've now got this ridiculous situation where people are trying to stop other people who haven't been offended yet from being offended.
So is Blackpool racist and all the
probably
towns? All that,
I would imagine
palm
so.
Palm trees thrive in our blustery coastal towns,
well, actually,
don't they?
Cabbages. They are descended from cabbages.
What, yeah. Palm trees are?
No, the palm trees we have in this country, the only ones that will grow that you get in your garden, I suspect, or your estate.
I once knew somebody who bought a palm tree for his place in Portugal and paid 10,000 quid for it.
Why?
And it was really shipped expensive. And it was shipped in from Morocco.
Well, when I left my house in Dartmouth Park, I'd been there 20 years and I planted this little palm tree. And when we left, it was nearly the height of the house.
Oh, wow.
And we toyed with the idea of digging it up and taking it on the lorry, because they are so expensive.
Because they're so expensive.
I left it there. It belonged there.
You could have added it onto the value of the house.
It did belong in my garden.
Right.
The palm tree.
Wow. That's pretty amazing. Yeah. So the New York Times is a very good plank, though, because they've done an awful lot of really, really plankish things over the course of the last few weeks. And it used to be, when I was living there, back in the 80s, it was actually quite a decent paper. It was always boring, and it was always quite tedious. And I never forget, on the day that 9/11 happened, they didn't even blow the front page. They just did a normal front page that happened to have a picture of the Twin Towers on fire. But they had other stories around it. I mean, every newspaper in the world was like, whammo, big picture of the plane going in or something. They didn't think it was enough of an event to do that. Yeah, it was just like, you know, well, obviously that's the main story on the page, but we better do all these other stories about, you know, gardening in the Bronx or whatever. You know, it's very odd, very strange.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
My second one is Jeremy Corbyn. You'll be pleased
Jeremy
to
Corbyn.
Know. No, Jeremy Corbyn.
Corbyn.
Just when you thought it was safe to completely and utterly abandon all hope when it comes to Jeremy Corbyn, he actually put out a tweet this week and said, tomorrow I will be announcing a new project, which I'm very excited about, as if anybody actually gave a stuff, right? And it turns out that following day, and people were, of course, making fun of him the night before, saying, you know, what are you, you know, opening a new shed in your allotment, or, you know, are you welcoming the head of Hezbollah to your house for Christmas, you know, this kind of thing.
Again.
And, of course, it turns out that he was launching a new project, which is called Peace and Justice. So the Peace and Justice campaign of some description. However, the main reason I'm putting him in as a plank, apart from the sanctimonious nature of his announcement, where he wore this ridiculous sort of, even more ridiculous than your jacket, blue, sort of powder blue jacket. He's got very odd tasting clothes, I have to say. And he's sitting there looking very pious and talking about how important it is. I mean, this in the same year that he's been kicked out of his own party for anti-Semitism, right? Talking about peace and justice. I mean, really? It's really not a good look. He doesn't mention Jewish people at all, either, in his monologue.
But he never did.
But no, he doesn't like to mention them, because I think that's part of the problem. Yeah. You know, he doesn't quite see the problem at all. He forgot to register the domain name of the organisation which meant, unfortunately, that as in these times, these things happen, somebody hijacked it and started pushing a load of porn out on it. Right? And so when you did click on the link, you didn't get taken to the new Peace and Justice world of Jeremy Corbyn. You got taken to some rather nasty and rather...
I wonder if it was a Jewish person.
Hardcore porn. Well, I wonder if it was. Really, but I mean, it's proof, as if you needed it, that you can't actually, you know, operate anything without it going horribly wrong.
No.
So thank God he didn't win the election last year.
He hasn't matured as a person, it seems to me.
No.
You know, he used this expression all the time, student politics. Yeah. It's that at his age.
It's like he's like a parody of what you would, if you were to invent a kind of left.
Dave Spark.
Yeah, Dave Spark, yes.
He's Dave Spark.
Well, Citizen Smith. You know, he's married to this Venezuelan free trade coffee millionaire, right, who's so wealthy that she, you know, he doesn't even have to work. But he continues to work. He continues to be angry about all sorts of stuff. Remember that great scene of him going into the taxi when he slams the door so hard that if anybody's hand had been caught in it, the hand would have come off, you know. And he just seems to be so bitter and angry about everything all the time. He has no sense of humour. He's never laughing.
The election. He thought he was robbed.
Right.
But the media.
Don't you think he does this other? He does the thing which will come on to my third. Victim. Does this alternative court thing. Mm. So he starts something up. Yeah. To start Peace and Justice.
Right.
Or, you know, from the backbenches, I'm going to cause trouble. I'm going to create a club, a cult, a thing.
Right.
He's got his own thing going on. That's a thorn in the side of.
Well, this is it. I mean, all these people who say the great thing about Jeremy Corbyn is he's fought racism all his life. Oh, really? Well, what he's done all his life mostly is travel around lots of parts of the Middle East, which don't seem to have any Jewish people in them. You know, goes to Lebanon a lot, goes to Palestine loads, you know, talks to lots of people in the Palestinian movement, but doesn't seem to have much time for Israel.
And invited Sinn Féin, which were then connected to the IRA, within a few weeks of people
and then claimed,
who were murdered.
And claimed that he was part of the peace process, which was the most insidious part of it, because he definitely wasn't.
He'd hired a researcher who was an IRA supporter, and I raised it in the House of Commons and reminded me the other day. I'd totally forgotten about it.
You know, I'd totally forgotten, but Carol, you may not have known this, that he was also once a Tory MP.
Yeah.
One of the decent ones as well.
Yeah, 83 to 97, a nation mourned in 97.
Yes.
I was raised a poor child in council flats in Liverpool. So my father stood to be a Labour councillor once, and my parents would vote Labour without even looking at the manifesto.
Yeah.
We're a Labour family and that's it, you know. So I've actually voted for every party because I sort of go, I'll give that a shot. Mm. And I voted for Tony Blair because I liked the idea of a young family getting into number 10. I actually thought it's not going to be some fusty old guy.
Well, it was very appealing, wasn't it?
Yeah. It's like, he's going to be like us.
Yeah.
He's got kids, he's got school run, he's got stuff to do.
Yeah.
He's going to be modern. He's got, you know, so you do all these things with the best of intentions.
Yeah.
And this time I voted for Boris and now I'm...
Wishing you hadn't.
I'm wishing I hadn't, but I don't know who else there would have
been. But there wasn't really an alternative.
There was no alternative. No. There was no alternative. But Tony asked me to join New Labour, and I said, mate, you know, you're a bit too right-wing for me.
Well, they used to call him Tory Blur.
He's one of the original wets.
No. I was one of the wets.
Tory Blur.
Yeah, that's right.
I love that. Yeah.
Blue Labour was what they used to be known as, wasn't it? Yeah. Let's have your third one.
Oh, mine?
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to get this wrong. I can never pronounce it, and you know more about football than I do, which is not a high bar.
That's not a high bar.
No, Jack Grealish.
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 Near enough.
Grealish, there
Jack
you go.
Jack Grealish.
Yes.
Jack Grealish.
It's an unusual name.
Yeah, it's a very unusual name. Aston Villa captain.
Yes.
England football.
Yes.
Well, he went out on the Raz.
Didn't he just?
Before he went out on the Raz.
And did he not also go out on the Raz during lockdown? Wasn't it during lockdown?
Better than that. He sent out a little tweet saying, obey the rules, stay at home, all this sort of stuff. And he went out on the Raz and got, how can I put this, thoroughly plankered at a friend's house and then decided, do you know what? I'll drive home.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Great idea.
Like a Dodgem car.
Yes.
A Dodgem car. Bang, 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 bang. And
he hit about 15 cars.
Yeah, he was blind drunk.
90,000 pounds worth of damage to his enormous thing. And now
I think he was in a Range Rover at the time.
It was a Range Rover, but big, you know, big Range
Rover.
And then he's been done again for speeding, and he's been done, I think, to the tune of £84,000, because each sentence...
Well, here's the thing for you, right? They now charge you, don't they, regarding how much income you have. So they give you a penalty Which I think is entirely wrong, by the way.
A percentage thing on what your income is.
Because I got done for speeding years ago. I was on the way to do a programme for Anglia TV.
Mm.
And I was stopped by a police
officer. Well, that is a long time ago, isn't it?
That's a long time ago when it was Anglia TV. And this guy, police officer, says, oh, good evening, sir. Oh, yes, sir. I think you were speeding. I said, look, I'm terribly sorry. I'm rushing to this TV programme.
Yeah.
I said, you know, oh, by the way, sir, you're an MP. What are you doing about Sunday trading? I said, well, actually, I could be. Yeah, I'm all in favour of it. And what would God say about that? So I said, but I could always change my mind. Are you threatening to bribe a police? I thought, sorry.
Yeah.
This is ridiculous. But I had to give my income as an MP per week to the court.
Yeah.
I hadn't got a clue. I knew how much I was earning every year.
Right.
I didn't know how much it was a week.
No. But I think now they do. I think what they now do is they take into account how much money you make.
Oh.
And they can fine you. Because was it not Anton? You know, it was Ant, wasn't it? Who got that?
Oh, yeah.
He paid some ludicrous amount, like 86,000,
yeah.
Similar to Greenwich.
Well, I got done for speeding. This is back in the early 90s. So I'd just taken possession of a brand new MX-5.
Very nice.
The car, you know, they were absolutely head-turned.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I was writing with a guy out in the Cotswolds. And I was going back to North London. And I had our new demo. Came away with the cassette, I think. And you know how loud rock music makes you put your foot down?
Yeah.
I hadn't been drinking or anything. I'd been working.
Yeah.
So I'm M40, back to North London.
Yeah. Fast road.
I was doing 115 miles an hour. I was really young.
That should get you a ban, shouldn't it?
Well, I had to get a brief. Mm. So we went to court, and the way he got me, and I was in a suit, put on a suit and everything. I looked very, you know, prim and sorry.
Sorry. I'm very sorry.
And the way my brief got me off was to tell the judge that I hadn't had a hit for years. And if he took my car away, I couldn't travel around and write with people and earn money. And I was going, yeah, all right.
Yeah, easy. Steady.
It's not what you want to see in the front page of the Daily Mail.
Did that get in the papers as well?
No, it didn't, because I wasn't important enough. But it cost me 700 quid. And I got and 3 points.
That's all right.
I've only ever been done
for speeding once in my life, and it was many, many years ago. And I was coming into Hungerford, funnily enough, from Marlborough. And if you know the A4, you come into Hungerford, and it's like down a hill. And there was this policeman hiding in a bush, effectively, which they're not meant to do, apparently. But I had to go. I was going to fight it, but it was Reading Crown Court, and I would have had to take a day off. I would have had to go to Reading, and I thought. And I was already working on the radio, and I thought, worst case scenario, the judge is going to throw the book at me and go, you know, you think you can get away with anything. And I was, I was coming into a 30, doing about 40, because it was from a 60, you know. And in the end, I just paid the fine, which wasn't very much, and I cut 3 points for a couple of years, and that was it.
Part of the prosecution against me was territorial, because I was in the Cotswolds.
Yeah.
I think you can come and do what you like round here in my
Londoners,
manner.
Bloody Londoners.
To go, no, I'm so sorry, I, you know, like that.
I mean, considering the sort of stuff you now see, because I drive around quite a bit and I go up and down to Sussex, some of the driving now is so bad, but there's no cops out there to catch anyone, and the speed cameras don't appear to work. I mean, almost every speed camera that I go by, you see people racing past them. They don't flash anymore.
Remember in early lockdown when no one was driving anywhere? People who then did start driving, they were on the wrong side of the road. They were going through red lights. I saw
There was like a sort of free-for-all.
I know, nutty driving then. Yeah.
Unbelievable. So, we need your third one, don't we?
Yep. And, of course, she has to make it on because it's, you know...
It is that year, isn't it? It's got to be her.
It's
Megan. People now say that when they see her speak, they just imagine my voice now because I do this impersonation of Megan. Just about surviving.
Well, folks will know, she gave her CNN speech for the Quiet Heroes or the Silent Heroes, whatever it is. And they've launched their Woke Awards.
Communities of Compassion.
Yeah, which, and they're going to favour businesses and individuals that support the things that are close to their
home. Oh, yes.
You know,
of course.
So
it's all
going to
be very green.
Yeah.
And, you know.
And what I noticed when I was sort of being irritated by her as usual, I sort of drilled down into the information in the articles I was reading, was that they made their announcement for their Wokey McWoke Awards and her speech and stuff when Kate and Wills got on a train.
This is the thing, isn't
it? And went around the corner and actually met
some real people,
the heroes, the people that have been looking after us, keeping the wheels of the nation going.
This is during the time when Nicola Sturgeon was warning them not to come to Scotland. Right? Which was don't come here.
A counterproductive thing to do.
Right. Yeah.
But look at the way Kate Wills do it. They do it absolutely perfectly.
They do it textbook royal style, right?
Meghan and Harry just do photo opportunities. Yeah. It's not...
Well, do you know, the worst one, I think, for me, for the entire year, was that horrible picture they put out on Remembrance Sunday, where they were posing, effectively, in a cemetery. You know, one of those military cemeteries in America. And you just thought, come on, guys. I mean, this is not a prop. There are dead people there.
He's bewitched.
Yeah,
he?
Totally.
And,
but we've all seen it, haven't we? I mean, we've seen it with friends. I'm sure you have. Sometimes members of families who they get hooked up with people, and you just go, "That's not going to work
out."
They
reject their friends,
and then eventually they get taken away. And she's done this to him. She's removed him from all of the people that he used to know.
Yeah.
She's completely and utterly isolated him so that he's her only friend. And you've seen the way she looks at him. It's like this kind of, you know,
isn't
slightly
that
mad
control.
Yeah,
allegedly. I say allegedly.
Well, she's not going to sue.
But she kind of stares at him.
She sues everybody. I've got to be careful how I break.
Well, he's now suing the Mail on Sunday again.
Oh, no.
Having already sued, he's still got one lawsuit going. He's doing it again.
She doesn't talk to her family.
No.
Doesn't appear to be having much to do with his. Maybe they're doing amazing, affectionate Zoom calls that we're not privy to.
I very much doubt it. Because I'll tell you why we know that that's not the case. Because when, on Remembrance Sunday, officially, he said he wanted to lay a wreath on the cenotaph and wanted Buckingham Palace to do it on his behalf, and they said no.
Well, no, you're not a royal anymore.
I think that tells you quite a lot.
Exactly right. Well, once you leave...
But, you know, if Wills and he were getting along, Wills would have said, I'll tell you what, I'll put one down for you as well. But he didn't.
I feel sorry for Harry.
Well, you know when they got married? Because I put this on.
Well, you wouldn't want to be stuck with her for the rest of time, would you?
But didn't you think she was to start with, I thought she was amazing. She's so pretty, so beautiful, so stylish, really modern.
But everybody thought it was great.
We got our Union Jack beanbag out and sat watching the, you know, toasting them on their wedding day, which was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I've never seen anything.
Although they invited all sorts of people they didn't even know.
No.
As it turns out.
I started to wonder about that. And then I wondered why only her mother from her family was present. I thought, okay, that's a bit odd, but hey, we've all got tricky family members, so, you know, fair enough. But I've never seen anything unravel so quickly.
I know.
Piers Morgan got it right, actually. Yep. He was the only sensible commentator who said at the very beginning, this is not going to work. I know her. I know how she treats her friends. And...
Did you see the picture that you might not have done? It was around on Mail Online yesterday. Oh. Lizzie Cundy, who of this parish, who you might know.
Yeah. I know Lizzie,
she has a picture with Meghan back in, I don't know when it was, 2015 or something, when she was first in London asking to be introduced to some hot British men, and important British men, and famous British men. And so she was in Annabelle's or somewhere
asked.
With, well, maybe you just didn't answer the phone that day.
You didn't have your blazer there.
I didn't get a call either.
If you'd have had your blazer.
Yeah, but, you know, that was her MO. And as Piers pointed out, you know, she came to him and said, you know, who do I talk to get myself known in society? Yeah. You know, who do I, you know, whose party should I go to?
Do you know what? It's always
just ridiculous.
It's fun to be friends with the great and the good.
Yeah.
I think we're all guilty of that. You know, we all like to oil the wheels of our lives and know some influential, important people.
Mm.
I've enjoyed that in my time as well.
Yeah.
But some people, and I won't be sexist about it, some people are very strategic.
Yes.
Very strategic about all their relationships.
I think that's absolutely right. Yeah. That's clearly what she's like. And for her to kind of paint herself as this saint is clearly wrong.
But to leak that announcement about their Woke Awards and then give that nauseating speech, the announcement for the Woke Awards was as the day Kate and Wills got on the
train. She does. Yeah. Every time there's anything going on with the royals, she's got some announcement or other to make.
Yeah.
You know, which can't just be a coincidence.
I'd love to see a new episode of The Windsors.
Well, do you know, my joke is now that because they're getting all this money from Netflix, they're just waiting for The Crown to catch up and they'll just play themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't be at all surprised.
Yeah. It's the last series now, isn't it? Last series.
Well, you say that, but you know.
You know.
My number three is Lord Adonis. The last gasp... death rattle of the Ramonas has been going on now for about a week and a half, 2 weeks. They've suddenly realised that it's actually all happening and we are actually eventually leaving the European Union. Whether it's done well or not doesn't really matter. But he's been particularly vociferous on social media and he put out a tweet, a series of tweets actually, comparing, you know, our battle with the French, with Waterloo. He then started going on about how actually we've got even fewer ships now than we had then. France must be absolutely, you know, cowering with fear. And I was just thinking, what is wrong with you? You know, one thing to be kind of pro-Europe, but to be actually anti-British which is kind of what he was being. And I sent him a tweet saying, you know, maybe the French taxpayers would prefer to look after your wages and your expenses when you sit in the House of Lords, because you don't seem to have any respect for your own armed forces and or the fact that you are a public servant. Would you, you know, mind shutting up?
Yeah.
Right? And I think people like him who are in positions of privilege ought to just sit down. I'm not saying that, you know, you can't have an opinion, but the way that people like him go on, you just think, what is wrong with you?
Flipping social media, and I'm going to sound like a hypocrite because I use social media, but I don't...
You get attacked quite a lot on social media, which I always feel bad about. Whenever anyone attacks you, I always want to jump in.
Because when I first started it, to be honest, the world was different. So all my tweets were... as drunk in a tour bus, backstage at a gig. So it was all very related to what I do. And now, like everybody else, I've started to chat about what's going on.
And give your opinion, heaven forbid, right?
Yeah, and people can't... There's a few people who I've just had nice chats with and we agree to differ, but other people, they just sit there. And some people even look, what am I going to do today? Who can I pick on today?
Yes.
Who can I fight with today? Because they are... anonymous.
The proper trolls.
Yeah, they're anonymous. Yeah. They've got nothing to do. They've probably got one hand down their underpants while they're doing it.
Yeah.
You know?
Only one hand?
Only one hand. Well, they've got to type with the other.
Absolutely.
They've got to type their
file. I can't actually get my hand into my pants now because it's
but
too
fat. I just think now everybody just has, and I'm probably the same, it's this constant noise, this verbal diarrhea. And politicians should have more decorum than the rest of us.
Yes.
You know, like that American woman, boycott this boycott this food company.
But some of them
support
But some of them can't help it.
No.
But what's worse with the politicians? The government has a line and then suddenly everyone who's an MP comes out with exactly the same line.
Yeah.
And then within a week, Boris has changed his mind.
Yeah,
and they
look
complete and utter.
But people like Adonis, I mean, Adonis has never been elected to do anything, right?
He
was Minister for Transport, I think. After they made him,
and he was given a job
a
by
Lord.
The Tories as well on education, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Something like
that. I mean, he's had a charmed life.
But he's a driven man.
Well, yeah, is he though?
Well, no, but he's driven.
Well what's he driven?
Transport, he would have been.
Well, what's he driven
he's
by?
But he is obsessive, isn't
yes.
he?
Yes, no, he
he's
is
obsessive.
Totally. I think actually he's got a very kind of one-track-minded personality.
Yeah, I think
because I think he is not like most people. He gets very, very drawn in by this one thing, you know. And actually, whenever I have spoken to him, he's quite a good guy to get on because he doesn't mind what you say.
No.
He's almost impervious to any kind of criticism because he knows he's right. You know, he doesn't care what anybody else thinks, really.
Right. It's interesting what you said, that you feel he doesn't actually like the UK.
Well, it sounds... I mean, that's how it comes across.
Because I was never, ever, ever a Little Englander.
No.
Ever. And my career has taken me all around the world. I've had a very international life, and the music business is just a league of nations.
Yeah.
So I've never been that, you know, speak
no, me neither.
Or die.
Me neither.
But I voted Brexit.
Yeah.
Because I don't like the EU.
But he comes...
I love the people. I love the countries. I love
all
their different customs, foods, languages, men. But I don't like the EU.
Mm. And there's nothing wrong with that.
And then you get, but then you will get bracketed with.
Because everybody assumes from one side of the track.
You're not this, you're that.
That you're some kind of, you know, racist. Bigot, because you voted for Brexit.
Yeah,
well, that's ridiculous,
thing.
Yeah.
And it was just so offensive.
Karen.
Gammon.
Well, there's Karens
Karen
as well.
Oh,
Karen.
Well, I'm Carol. I'm close.
Karen, Gammon. I mean, it's just, but it's ridiculous. I mean, and people like him, I think, should really know better. You know, the likes of Jolyon Moron, your learned friend, as I call him.
Fox Slayer.
They never shut up
and
about
his wife's kimono.
They never shut up about it. It's a whole coterie of like European pro EU lawyers who all day just spout all this rubbish.
What's
about
it?
The
Simone
EU.
Timor is another one who keeps coming on.
There's the one.
She's a silk, and she comes out with the most dreadful. Look, I'm a Remainer. I vote Remain. I campaign for it. But we've had a referendum and two general elections. I'm a Democrat.
Right.
I don't like it.
But also, you're
I'm
not
a Democrat.
You're also not a fanatic, and you're
I'm not a fanatic.
Despite the jacket, you're a very reasonable man.
And I'm not.
You know?
I'm not a fanatic about it either. Sometimes I'll be honest. Sometimes I wish it had never happened.
I know.
It's ragged on for so long.
I just
long.
Want it to work.
It's been
At
made
the end of the day,
such
I want it
a mess
to work.
Of by our side, and the other side have been so. Spiteful.
Useless.
It's been horrible.
I think everyone's been spiteful, to be fair.
It really
the
has
extremes
been.
On both sides.
I mean, I think when we look back upon this whole period of history, we will not be thinking of some of the great statesmen of this planet. You know, they were not. Nobody really has excelled themselves in anything other than complete and utter desperation.
Yes, but look at this cabinet. I mean, they're just places.
Well, I don't think there's ever been a more kind of ineffectual collection of people. They're just nobodies, really.
I can't look at Matt Hancock anymore.
No.
I just, because I hate everything.
I mean, he should really be on the Plank of the Week list. Because I might have to carry him over from last week, yeah. Actually.
Do you know, I'd like to give him a bit of slack, actually. And you'll probably say, yeah, from a gibbet. But
Hancock? Why?
Well, because...
He's hopeless.
The NHS...
This is the guy who dreamed up the new variation of COVID.
No, no. It would have been officials. And when you're in that position...
No, but he doesn't have to spout it.
Yeah, but if the moment he doesn't, it's like everyone's starting to hide
behind the side. I don't think there even is such a thing.
The virus has mutated
a variation
100 times, they reckon, 100 times. And so he decides to call it mutant strain to justify
to frighten everyone.
What he's done to London and put it back into tier three.
Yeah, but...
It is. I don't think it
really is Project Fear. It's just that it's changed and really nobody knows. That's the truth. Nobody really knows, and they're all terrified that the vaccine isn't going to bloody work.
Right.
That's what's terrifying.
Well, it's not a vaccine, is it?
I know you have a family member who's paramedic, so I know you probably get a lot of intel from him.
Yeah.
But the raw numbers, it's horrible when you talk like this. I don't mean to refer to anybody's elderly relatives. It's going to sound stupid. If my mum was still alive, I'd be really worried about her.
Yeah, yeah.
Because she was very... she had a lot of health conditions, which is why she's dead. But...
sorry.
Oh, my God.
Very well put. My mother loved that.
I know what you meant. You
snip that bit and we just...
But it's 99.5%. Over 99.5% of people either don't know they had it or feel a bit crap for a couple of days.
Yeah.
And then the people that are getting it are a very specific... percentage and proportion.
The people who were dying from it, certainly.
So I don't agree.
Not necessarily.
And therefore, this is a conversation.
We can argue to the council.
Well, this is a conversation for another time. Yeah. But the bottom line is that it is not worth wrecking the entire economy as a basis
for
supposedly stopping people who are probably not very well anyway from dying.
I think we've got to a stage when we have to accept that lockdown just doesn't work.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. So why do they keep doing it?
The circuit break doesn't work. What you've got to do is let people trust in your judgment, and they've lost trust in the judgment of the
and
government.
And Matt Hancock is very largely to blame for that.
See, I wouldn't do the...
Boris as well,
you know, when
I'm
you
afraid,
see these idiots...
Mixed messages.
...in big crowds outside Harrods and everything. I wouldn't do that. I would do the hands, face, space, or hands, knees, bumps of daisy, as I always call it. Mm. I would double check with an older relative. How do you feel? We all feel fine. Do you want to come for lunch? We should be able to make our own decisions. I would still be respectful of people's space, but you can't keep herding us round like this. It's just unbearable.
Yeah.
It really is.
They've just got it hopelessly wrong.
They absolutely have.
And I believe in masks. I know one or two people on talk radio.
I don't have a problem with that. No, I don't think
except
so.
Except what happened to... I can't remember his name. He's a lovely...
Mark Dolan. Who cut the mask up.
The mask off.
He cut it up.
We're in a building where you cannot get out that door.
Well, you made the tweet of the night, didn't you? Because he cut his mask up, right? And there was a video that went out.
Sorry.
And Jerry just went... Well, you're going to have trouble getting out of the building. And also getting into it again tomorrow. But, you know, listen.
But there you go.
What can we do? Now, this is the point at which we've got nine, right? We have to get them whittled down to three.
Oh.
Okay, so basically, I'm going to pick my favourite one of yours, Jerry.
Yeah.
You pick your favourite one of Carol's and you pick your favourite one of mine.
Oh, God.
So what are your three? Can you remember?
No.
You can't, can you?
Yeah, right.
So what are your three?
Carol's one. I like the, was it New York Times?
No, you're not picking hers. No. I'm picking yours.
Oh, you're
you remind Mike what your three are.
Oh, you're mind. Well,
first,
oh, yeah.
Tell me what your
Trump,
three were.
Yeah. The footballer chap.
Yeah.
And Vardy and ghastly woman.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I quite like the Vardy Rooney thing.
Yeah.
I think they should be.
They're just so bad.
But I'm not sure who the plank is. Is it? It's just both of them, isn't it?
Yeah. Both of them.
Rooney and Vardy.
Both.
Rooney Vardy.
The pettiness both is
the petty wag.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. So that's theirs. So Carol, tell him what your three were.
Okay. So mine were. Oh, shedding. I can never
New York Times.
The AOC.
They're
saying boycott Goya Foods.
Yes.
The New York Times for wanting inclusivity, diversity, and gender-neutral sewists in the fashion world.
Sewists.
And Meghan.
Megan.
With her speech and her woke awards and timing that.
Just to
put a thorn in the side of Wills and Kate.
I like the sewist ones because it's a bit like dear old Katja, what's her name? Adler. Katja, she's lovely. Mm. European correspondent for the BBC. She started talking about fisher folk.
Fisher people.
Fisher people. Oh, then others started fishing.
Yeah, yeah.
No, so the sewing stuff. is really, and I mean, and let's be fair, you know, the fashion industry isn't exactly a bastion of people who are anti-gay.
Well, I wouldn't have thought so.
No, I wouldn't have.
Now you get to pick one of mine: Prince Andrew, Jeremy Corbyn, Lord Adonis.
I'm going to pick Prince Andrew.
I think you should,
because he's stuffing his mum and dad so bad.
He has, and he's managed to not let the story die because he won't stop, you know, denying it all.
He doesn't get it.
And he doesn't get it. You know, the way for it to go away is for him to go and talk to them and just get rid of it and say, look, I didn't do anything. This is what I know. This is who I saw. This is what I did. That's the end, you know. So Prince Andrew, Vardy and Rooney and the New York Times. We can all choose one now. I think it's going to be Prince Andrew, isn't it?
Yeah.
Plank of the week.
He's the gift that keeps on giving.
It's hard to put the other two ahead of him, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is. Mine's are quite a light-hearted.
Yes.
Whereas, actually, although plank is light-hearted, this is serious.
It can be serious. It's all right.
I think it's very serious. Once gave...
He's the crown prince of plankerdom.
Yeah.
He is.
Isn't he?
Okay.
Yes.
So, Prince Andrew, number one. Would you go for... the Wags is number two.
Let's go
with
the Wags as number two, I think.
Wags. Wags number two.
Keeping it real.
Keeping it real. And then the New York Times is number three. Well,
yes.
Prince Andrew, once again, I mean, he won Plank of the Year last year. This week, it's Plank of the Week. Well done. And please just go and sort your life out and do something decent for your mother. Right? So.
He must come to the awards.
He should come to the awards and end of the. He probably will make it into the top 20.
Lots of very
end
nice
of,
girls.
End of the year.
Very nice
steady,
girls.
Steady. Carol. So listen, that's been the last plank of the week.
Oh, thank you
for the whole year. So thank you so much for coming, both of you.
Pleasure.
And I may see you for plank of the year.
Ah.
I may see you for plank of the year if you fancy it, but we may not have time to get you in because I think we've had to give the names out already. But we will see you next year.